Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. It's the latter part of the Sermon on the Mount here. And kind of maybe a strange subject as we talk about continuing our series in personal revival. And as we have mentioned before, we will say it again because there's some that have not been here in the past. But when we speak of personal revival in the Sunday school lesson, what we're talking about is not necessarily a major movement of God where we see people being converted, a lot of people being saved and all this, but we're talking about literally the Holy Spirit not only indwelling the believer, but filling the believer, and that overflowing out of our lives and into the lives of others. And you remember last week we dealt with, the last 2 weeks we've dealt with the revival must begin in the home. And we said that a couple of reasons that we don't have revival in our homes. One was is we're not 100% honest with one another many times in our homes. And then two is because we looked at 1 Corinthians 13, the biblical definition of love, as it defines love there and what love looks like and what love is, and how often, even in our Christian homes, that it is the exact opposite of what Corinthians defines as love that takes place in our home. And so this morning we're going to look at a story, a couple verses rather, that would be very common, if not very, very familiar to those in here. But it is of the mote and the beam. So we're going to look at the first three verses, the first five verses of chapter 7 of Matthew. The scripture says, "Judge not, that you be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again." It's a familiar passage, especially in our day and time. You'll hear people say, "Judge not, lest you be judged." They want to quote Matthew 7. And the scripture's not teaching us that we are not to judge, but it does tell us to use caution in judging, because however we judge others, by that same measure will we be judged by others and by the Lord. So if we're harsh and mean and hateful and critical on others, then you can rest assured that people will treat you like that, that God will allow that, and God can allow, can be harsh and critical on our behalf. And then when we do judge, we're to do that in love, and we're ultimately to do that with Scripture, not with our opinions, because your opinion is just as important as my opinion and vice versa. But what the Lord has said, then no one's opinion matters. It matters what God has said. And so in verse 3 here it says, "And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, Let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine eye, own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye." So, looking at the mote and the beam, the mote that may be in our brother's eye, and the beam that may be in our eye. Now, you remember we talked about being honest with one another, being open with one another, not only in our homes, but in our church family, with others. That we don't have to tell everyone that everything that we're thinking, but nonetheless, we need to be honest with one another and do it in a loving and kind manner. And that sometimes means rebuking one another. That sometimes means correcting someone else or showing someone their faults. And so, do you think that from what is being said here, listen once again as we read those three verses, "And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, and but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how shalt we say to thy brother, Let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye?" So, according to Scripture, do we have the responsibility, or may say the right, to remove the mote out of our brother's eye? Should we do that? Don't everybody answer at once.
I think only if you check yourself first.
So Sister Barb says that she believes we do, but we are to check ourselves first. Anybody else? Spencer? Deal with the weightier matter first, whoever it's in. Anybody else have something they want to add? Do it with love if you're going to do it. Absolutely. And the answer is, you know, when you first see that, when you first read verse 3, if we just stopped at verse 3, we could make the argument that we don't have the responsibility nor the right to remove the mote from our brother's eye. It says, and why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how? And then he goes on to say, how can you take that mote out of your brother's eye when you have a beam in your own eye? But if you continue on to read, then he tells you that you need to deal with the beam that is in your own eye first, and then you are to help remove the mote is from thy brother's eye. So you think of that friend of ours that has something in his eye, although it is very tiny, what Jesus referred to as a mote, how painful it is and how helpless he is until it is removed. It is surely our part as a friend to deal with, to do all we can to remove it, and how grateful he will or she will be when we succeed at removing it. We should be equally grateful when he has done the same for us. So with this in mind, the real point of the passage here is not the forbidding of trying to remove the fault in the other person, but just the opposite, that we should try to remove the fault and help the other one to do so. But first, you know, as I said, it seems almost like a condemnation for doing so. But what it really says is that to take care of your faults before you correct someone else's faults. And you know what? If we're honest, if most of us would just concern ourselves with taking care of our faults, we'd have very little time to correct others' faults. Because, you know, we got enough to deal with in dealing with ourselves. Now, that doesn't mean that we are to just overlook other people's faults. You know, you think about children, raising children. When they disobey, are we to allow that disobedience just because we may have committed that in our childhood or even in our adulthood, or just because we have wrong in our... No, we're still to correct that because God has said that behavior is unpleasing to Him. But we're to do it first and foremost, as you said, Sister Sharon, in a loving manner. Not only in a loving manner, but out of love for the other. It shouldn't be, hey, watch this, I'm going to set Sharon straight this morning. It should be because I care about her and because I want what's best for her. That's why we discipline our children. That's why the Lord disciplines us, for us to be holy. It's not to be a brute taskmaster or to be some tyrant or dictator over us. It's because He loves us that He's done that. So according to Scripture, we are meant to care so much for one another that we are willing to do all we can to remove this from his or her eye, the mote which is marring their vision and hindering his blessing. We are told to admonish one another in Colossians 3:16, to exhort one another, edify one another, and to provoke one another to love and good works. The love of Jesus, when it's poured into our lives, when we truly are revived, when we're full of the Holy Spirit and we have the love of God flowing through us and that overflowing in our lives, will give us a desire to help those we care about, our brothers and sisters in Christ. And what a blessing may come to many others through our willingness to humbly challenge one another. This is to be done by love and in love for the other person. The Lord gives us instructions on how to do this right here in our text. So, in definition, what do you think the mote would be, you know? How would you define a mote? We're to remove the mote from our brother's eye. What is a mote? Like a splinter? Okay, that's one definition when you look it up. Anybody else? A tiny grain of sand. Small. Yep. It's by definition, according to Strong's Concordance and Dictionary, it's a dry stalk or a tiny thing, a twig, a straw, or chaff. And so it's the small particles. And so you think of that, now you think of a beam. What is a beam? You look up, yeah. What does that beam do? It's a large stick or a timber. It's the idea of holding up, you know. So you think of a splinter, you think of a twig or a little bitty piece, a grain of sand, some small, super minute, small particle, and you think of these beams, and they're not even in comparison. And what the Lord is saying here, first the Lord tells us that it is impossible for us to cast out that little small splinter, that little small thing in our brother, our sister, our husband, our wife, our children, or whatever, when we have a beam, a big thing in our lives, that tiny speckle. So we must remove that beam first, or else, you know, think about it. If you've got something in your eye, something major in your eye, you can't even see clearly yourself. Now, how are you going to help somebody else get something out of their eye? I remember several years ago, I wear contacts, and I took my contacts out, but I was having trouble getting one of them out. I just couldn't seem to get it out, and I used some little medical forceps. I tried some tweezers. I even had Heather try to get it out of there, and I just couldn't get it. So finally, I went to the emergency room, and they spent some time trying to get it, and they couldn't get it, and come to find out, the contact was in my sink at home. It was my eye that we were all pulling on, you know, trying to get that out. But you think about that, and that, you know how silly that is and how foolish. But really, that's what it's like when we're trying to pick others apart, when we have major sin or major issues in our own lives, and we're trying to deal with the minor things in someone else's life. That's what the Lord's warning about. He's not saying, hey, don't help someone get those minor things or those sins in their life straight. You should help them, but make sure you take care of the sins in your life, the things in your that's hindering your vision, your walk with the Lord first. So we cannot see straight ourselves, and it is hypocrisy to do so. So what did Jesus mean by mote in thy brother's eye? What are some of the things? Now, we know we've defined that being small particles or small things. Now, but when you think of sin, you think of things like that. What are some illustrations that could be mote in our brother's eye or our sister's eye? Your speech, what you say to somebody. You remember, we've been dealing with being honest with one another and being loving toward one another and being open with one another. But so definitely your speech, the things you say, or sometimes the things we don't say to somebody. It could be, you know, the small faults we see in others. It may be an act or something he or she has said against us, or an attitude toward us. And so we're quick to recognize the other's fault, aren't we? If, you know, what, maybe their speech or something they said, or an action they did toward us, or an attitude they had toward us. And we're quick to correct that, you know. And I say we because I am quick to do that sometimes, you know, with people. But we need to, before we help them fix their attitude or their actions or what they've said to us, we're responsible, remember, for our reaction. Not only our actions, but our reactions. So just because another has sinned against us or done us wrong doesn't give us the right to react in retaliation toward that. The Scripture says what? Vengeance is mine, I shall repay. Thus saith the Lord. It's not up to us to vindicate our own grievances. It's up to the Lord. We ask Him to set those things straight. And so, so just to go along with the lesson, and we're talking about faults in one another, and we think of the beam that is in our eye, I would suggest to you that it is the beam of an unloving reaction to our brother or sister's mote. Yes, they may have been wrong. There may have been wrong in the other person, but our reaction can also be wrong, and many times is. And, you know, when you look at it from the Lord's perspective, somebody may say something to you out of the way, may say something wrong to you, may have an attitude toward you, may do something to you, but if we could see it from the Lord's perspective, you know, many times our reaction to that person is worse than the action they committed to us. So you have a mote, and then we have a beam and a reaction to one another. And that mote in Him is provoked in us. Remember last week we went through love, and there in 1 Corinthians 13, and we gave a definition of each one, and we gave the opposite for each one. What are some of those things that are opposite of love that we studied last week? Anybody remember? That we may harbor feelings or things that we may have toward one another. If somebody has done us wrong, Brother Danny says something out of the way to me or gives me an attitude, or with our spouse many times, if they act a certain way, do certain things, what are some of the things that go on within us? You can become angry toward someone, so you got anger, which would be the opposite of love. What else? Resentment. You can start to resent that person for who they are or what they do or how they handle situations. Jana?
I think an emotion we can have towards others that we're not aware of
is a jealousy. If we're envious of what others have, you know, it may just see, you know, the Lord may bless somebody else. And, you know, we should rejoice for that person because of what God has done in their life if we truly love them. But if we're not right, you know what can become that beam in our lives? That envy, that jealousy of desiring what they have. Instead of being happy that the Lord has been good to someone else that we love, we become envious of them. You can have anger. You can have bitterness, resentment, coldness, criticism, ill will, evil speaking. You see, so somebody may have a mote in their eye. They may say something out of the way, may treat us in a way that is wrong. But if we react with resentment, coldness, criticism, bitterness, ill will, evil speaking, jealousy, envy, all these things, then you know what we need to do first before we set them straight and say, well, you did this, and that's why. No, we need to deal with those feelings, those emotions, those things that are sin in our lives first. All of which we talked about last week that are very opposite of love, and that is far worse than any wrong to us. Because what is the opposite of love?
Hate.
And what would you consider hate, Sister Sharon, summed up, a three-letter word? Not necessarily that. Sin. And what separates us from God?
Sin.
Sin. So whether it's the unbeliever, the person that doesn't know Jesus Christ, there's a thing that separates the Lord and man, and that's sin. Now, if we truly have Jesus Christ as our Savior, we know that we can't lose that, but you know what we can lose? We can lose the peace, the joy, the long-suffering, the kindness, the meekness, the fruit of the Spirit. We can lose those things. We can lose our fellowship with the Lord. And the only thing that will cause us to lose fellowship with the Lord is sin. And so these actions, we don't see it. We see it as normal. You know, hey, well, he said this, and I, you know, so I said this, or I did this. When really, that's an act of very opposite of love, and the opposite of love is hate, and hate is sin. And so we have sin in our lives. And that is far worse than the tiny wrong done to us. Sometimes people do these things that we hold against them for being wrong, unconsciously or without ill will, or, you know, spouses. We sometimes may hurt the other one, not intentionally. But that's the importance of communication, of talking, as I said, being honest with one another, because we can reconcile those things. And so that tiny splinter or whatever you would be, contrast it to that of a rafter or of a beam. The comparison is what our unloving reaction is to others who wrong us. So, you know, remember this, and I know you do. It's a silly little thing that you'll... But when we point at somebody, what's going on here?
Pointing back at
yourself. I've got three fingers pointing back at me. And if we'll remember that, you know, if we're pointing fault at somebody else, 9 times out of 10, there's more fault probably on our behalf than theirs. And the hypocrisy we have practiced in trying to deal with someone else's fault when God saw in us something far greater in our hearts. A beam doesn't always mean like a violent reaction on our part toward one another. The start of resentment. When you start to have those feelings of resentment, the start of bitterness or any of these other things, the ill will, evil speaking, the very root of that is that beam that we're talking about this morning. or the first suggesting of an unloving criticism is a being. These things distort our vision from seeing our brother as they really are. Because if they truly are, as he says, he talks about the brother. If someone is a brother or sister in Christ, what does that mean? That we have the same Father? That we, so implies that they're His children? So you know how God sees that person? Dearly beloved. God loves His children. He doesn't have favorite children. God loves His children. And so when we start to act like that or harbor those feelings of bitterness, resentment, ill will, all that, we're against the very ones that God loves. And those ultimately that we love, and in one sense against ourselves. And they distort our vision. You know, you think about it. If you've got something major in your eye, and somebody else has a grain of sand, how are you going to help them get that grain of sand out of their eye when you've got something totally obstructing your vision? And that's the point behind the lesson. It's not that we shouldn't help someone get that grain of sand out of their eye. We should. But we need to make sure we're seeing clearly in order to do that. Because you think about it. If you've got something literally in your eye, a small particle, who do you want to get it out? Somebody that has, you know, 20/20 vision or somebody that's got 20/600 vision, you know? And that's what it is when we have these things going on. You know, if I have bitterness towards Sister Barb, resentment, ill will, or any of those things, malice, jealousy, envy, all those things, you know what that does? That hinders my view of her because my feelings are affecting that. And remember, we said the commands of God are to guide our lives, not our feelings. We are to have feelings, but feelings are to follow. God gave us some emotions, but they are not to lead. The commands and the Word of God are to lead. And so when I have these feelings that aren't scriptural, that are not pleasing to the Lord toward her, you know what that does? That doesn't allow me to see her really as she is. And so I may have good intentions of wanting to help her, but with those things going on in my heart toward her, I can't even with the good intentions help her because I'm not seeing things clearly in her life. And so they distort our vision of who they are. So if we speak to our brother with these things in our hearts, it will only provoke him or her to adopt the same hard attitude toward us. For it is the law of human relationships. For whatsoever ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. Remember, right before this verse, that's the last statement you see. And so you see that there. The solution to this is, first of all, that we are to cast out the beam out of our own eye. We must recognize our unloving reaction as what it really is. We can't say, well, that's normal, that's human nature, or that's what people do. We have to recognize that as sin. We must humbly go to the Lord on our knees, remembering that it was that very sin, those very things that crucified the Lord, those very things that put Him on the cross. We must repent of this unloving reaction and be broken over it and ask the Lord to cleanse us from it with His blood and to fill us with His love for that person. You know something that I have learned, and may have been even Rebecca that had told me this one time, but something I have learned, if you have ill will, you have feelings of resentment, bitterness, anger, whatever you can think of towards someone else, whether it's a spouse, whether it's an acquaintance, whether it's a friend, whether it's a fellow church member, whether it's a family member, anybody that you harbor any of these feelings toward. You know something you can do in order to rid yourself of those things? Be honest, first and foremost, with the Lord and tell Him that those are there and ask Him to help you. But one of the things that will help you to rid yourself of that is to pray for that person. Because you cannot truly, now you can say some words towards somebody that you have those feelings toward. But if you truly pray for somebody and have in their best interest and ask God to work in their life, to bless them, to do this and that, you know you can't do that and harbor resentment, bitterness, ill will, hard feelings, or hatred or anger, envy, jealousy. God won't hear that. He will not allow it. And if you truly will pray for that person and really mean that and really get serious about it, you know what you'll see happen? You may not see a change in their lives. You may not see them do differently, but you'll view them differently. And that resentment, that bitterness, whatever that feeling or was that was going on, you'll see God filling you with love for that person, compassion. You may even feel remorseful for them, feel bad for what they're, the shape they're in, because they don't even see it. And you'll see God that will change you through that. So pray for that person. Go ahead, Jana. Mm-hmm. Well, he says there in the latter part of the first part of verse 5, thou hypocrite, you know, and we've said it before. You know who some of the best observers of hypocrites are? Children. Children recognize a hypocrite quicker than anything. They see what goes on. And you know what happens when they don't see? One of the biggest grievances, as Jana is trying to illustrate, one of the things that hinders our walk with the Lord and hinders our personal revival with the Lord or hinders the church or whatever is not so much what we do here on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, not what we do in church, but it's when that doesn't match what's in the home. Now, that doesn't mean we do it perfectly, but kids recognize when people are putting on a front, and not only kids, but others will. And you know what? People that are led of the Lord, that have the Spirit of God in them, they're full of the Spirit. You know what? It doesn't take long to recognize a hypocrite or a phony or someone that is, you know, professing to be something they're really not. And we need to be careful about that, you know. We need to pray for one another. And then, like I said, if you truly pray for somebody, you can't do that and harbor ill feelings toward them. It's literally impossible to do. So, and God will change your heart toward that. And then if we've made things right with the Lord, and now we have fellowship with the Lord, then if the Lord leads us to, sometimes we need to go to that person that we've had harbored ill feelings toward and seek forgiveness and restoration from them. And you know what? Oftentimes, our own heart or other people will tell you that, well, what you did to them was not near as bad as what they did to you. You know, that's what Satan will whisper in your ear sometimes. Because he doesn't want you to be reconciled to your brother or your sister or the person that you've been offended to. Even our own hearts will tell us that, but others will, even Christians. We may love somebody and we will try to tell them, you know, really, it's not that big a deal, no. Those things that we do like that, that resentment, that bitterness, whatever it may be, those are sin. They are a big deal. That's the very things that our Lord was crucified for. So we need to confess those things to Him and to others. But after, you know, we've been to Calvary and we live in the shadow of it, you know, we won't compare our sins to another. And as we take these simple steps of repentance, then we can start to see clearly. You know, once I have dealt with the beam, these feelings, these emotions, these things that sin in my life toward one another or toward the Lord, ultimately all sin is toward God. But if once I've dealt with those things, you know, then I am fit to try to go to my brother or my sister or someone else and help them get the mote out of their eyes. Once we have been repented, and we've got the mote cast out of our own, or the beam cast out of our eye, then we're in a shape to help our brothers. And you know what you'll find? That God will cast light on us in order that we can truly help our brothers or sisters. And we may realize that the mote that we so obviously noticed before in the other person, when we get right, you know what happens? You realize that that was pretty minor, really. Or maybe even non-existent, something that's fabricated in our minds. You know, sometimes people may do something, say something, and we may misread that. We may think they've done it with this intention, or they've done it because of this, or they said this, meaning this, when really it was something totally opposite. And when we get right with the Lord, we repent and get right with God, and then we get right with that person, you know what? Sometimes we may find out that the very things that we were upset over that caused us to have a beam in our own eyes really may not have been sin in that person's life in the first place. Now, it could be, but it may not be. But God will truly cast light on that, that we may realize those things. And it may have been, you know what, many times we see faults in one another. You know what it really is when you think of it from the perspective of the lens of the eye, the vision. You think of that with our text here. You know what, sometimes the faults we see in one another, that mote that we so quickly point out, you know what it is a lot of times? It's a projection of the beam that's in our eye. That's right, Sister Sharon. It's our own faults that cause us to see someone else, and we don't even see it clearly or correctly. And so it's our faults sometimes that find fault in one another. As I said last week, what is it that causes us to get upset with someone else's pride and arrogance? It's the very pride and arrogance within ourselves that causes us to see that in others and be frustrated with that in others. So it may be that it's just a projection of what was in us. And then again, it may reveal hidden or unrevealed things in our brother or sister that they had no idea about. And then, see, we can truly help one another. So if he or she is humble, they will be grateful that we were there to help. And we shouldn't fear. We shouldn't let fear hold us back from challenging one another, to help one another. Now, we shouldn't argue with that person or try to press our point. It's up to God to illuminate their eyes, you know. It's only God that can open their understanding. But we are to tell others when they're in the wrong. But the point being is not that we shouldn't tell others that they're in the wrong, but we should make sure that we have things right in our lives before we go pointing out the faults in others. But if we will focus on getting ourselves right, you know what you'll find? There will be less for others to find fault in us. And if we would all do that, and then we would humbly and lovingly go to one another and say, hey, you know what? I see this going on in your life, and it's really not behooving of a Christian. It's not what the Scripture says a Christian should be. You know, that person, if they are truly a Christian and they are humble, and then they'll receive that. Maybe not immediately, but they'll receive that, and God will work with them in that. That's something I think is important. As I said, being honest in a marriage relationship, there's a lot of times, you know, I'll get frustrated or angry with different things, and Rebecca will say some things to me from a different perspective, maybe something that I'm not seeing. And as I sit and think about it, you know, oftentimes she's right. And it helps me to see things clearly. I won't say often, every now and then she's right. But really, we should do that to one another. Even not only spouses. Now, you know, I'm not encouraging you to be the church police. It's not necessarily our duty to go in here and straighten everybody else out. Like I said, our first and foremost duty is to look to the Lord, number one, and then look inside of ourselves and then try to help others. And as we humbly challenge one another, you know what will happen? We'll be made more like Christ if we do that. And we should, you know, don't be angry when someone corrects you. Don't get upset. Think about what's said. See if there's truth in it. And if it is, really, whether they do it in the right attitude. If Sister Jana corrects me, and maybe she's hateful about it and mean about it, you know, she can't really help that. That's her nature. But if she does that, then I shouldn't be offended by that. It's up, you know what, God will deal with her of how she done that, how she said that, or how she went about it. But ultimately, if there's truth in that, that there is sin in my life that shouldn't be, I should be thankful that God has revealed that to me, no matter what the instrument was. And same thing with the pastor. Go ahead, Mr. Barb.
I think if we stop and think before we say something,
mm-hmm.
and remember why, what you admire about this person, that there's something in there that you know shouldn't be in there, but it kind of clears your heart, I think, to remember first what it is about this person that you admire before you open your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Because otherwise you can do it in anger.
Mm-hmm. You're right. And so, yeah, remember, first and foremost, who they are. If they're the Lord's and you're the Lord's, then you're truly siblings, your brothers, your sisters, and your family. And that you should love one another. And as you said, remember the things you admire, respect in that person. It will help you to correct that person or to try to help that person in a loving manner rather than a judgmental or angry manner. That you think about those things that you respect in them. And, you know, as I said, we should be grateful that somebody cares enough to correct us. And that goes for the pastor. Sometimes, you know what the pastor says to us? It may hurt. But nonetheless, it's his duty to speak truth, no matter whether it hurts or not. Because, you know, without, you look and, you know, we think of the word judgment. Judgment is, it's difficult. It's harsh. It hurts. But, you know, without judgment, there is no hope. And every message of judgment, whether it's personal from one to another or from the pastor to the people or from the Lord directly to us or from the Scripture, something we're reading in our personal reading, but there's a hope. There's a message of hope. You know, when the Lord judged the earth in Noah's day, Noah, his wife, their three sons and their three wives found what? Found grace in the eyes of the Lord. There was hope because of judgment. You think about because of the judgment of our sin there on the cross. There's hope for you and I today. If sin had not been judged on the cross, there'd be no hope for us today. And so sometimes you realize one of the greatest mercies of God, one of the greatest graces, one of the most loving things God can do for us is to judge us or to allow someone to say, point out our faults. So remember that, you know, and use tact, use wisdom, seek the Lord's guidance, ask God to give you the words to say. Don't just go in there like a bull in a china shop to straighten somebody out. But we should encourage one another, edify one another, and sometimes rebuke one another to let the others know of, because it may be a fault that they don't even realize. But make sure that we cast out the beam out of our own eye before we try to get the mote out of our brother or sister's eye. Father in heaven, thank you for your word. Thank you for what it does in our lives, Lord. I pray that we would practice the very things that's been said here this morning, not because of the one that said them, but because of where they come from, ultimately the one that did say them, from Jesus Christ, from you, that we may practice these things, that we may love one another enough to do so, and that we would be loving and compassionate in how we do that, and that we would receive those things in love. And Lord, that if there be any wicked way in us, that you would reveal it to us and that we would confess that, and we would have a desire more than anything else to walk with you, to be in your presence, and to just see you move in our lives. Thank you for those that are here and their kind attention this morning. I pray that you'd bless each and every one in the services to follow. In Jesus' name I pray, and amen. What's that?